Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by your CFRC News Collective, Ara McCauley, Jesse Bell, and Jenny Hinch. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcasts, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Ara McCauley, and here are your local news headlines. The City of Kingston marked Emancipation Day on Saturday, August 1st, with a flag-raising ceremony and community activities in Confederation Park and in front of City Hall. Since 2021, Emancipation Day has been observed annually on August 1st, commemorating the enactment of the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833 across the British Empire. The day reflects a shared civic commitment to honoring the resilience of Black and Indigenous communities, acknowledging the legacy of enslavement in Canada, and advancing education, reflection, and collective liberation. The city hopes to encourage residents to reflect on the ongoing struggle for equality and to continue the work of dismantling racial discrimination in Canada, something that J.C. Kenny, Director of Communications and Customer Service for the City of Kingston, spoke to in her opening remarks.
Emancipation Day, as we've heard this morning, marks a time in history when the British Parliament abolished some 250 years of slavery of people of African descent. And for all of our awareness here today, it was first officially recognized by the Canadian government in 2021. It wasn't supported, it was just officially recognized as Emancipation Day, 2021. Here in Kingston, City Council asked that the marking of Emancipation Day be continued in 2022 and beyond, which is why we're here today, as, quote, a reminder of Canada's history of enslaving people of African descent as well as Indigenous peoples. And although we can acknowledge that many gains have been made, I think we can also agree that people of Black and brown skin and other equity-deserving groups still face discrimination, if not in all, then in some corners of their lives. Racism is alive and well, and each of us is called upon to do our part, to do what we can to quash it at the root, to call it out when we see it, to recognize racism for what it is. This is not an easy task. We live in a world where the tendrils of racism can be found in our own modern institutions, healthcare, policing, education, housing. Big one in Kingston, housing. Have we progressed? We have. We no longer see our ancestors in physical chains. But the chains of racism and discrimination can appear in many forms. We live next to a country where many of the programs built carefully and implemented around equity, diversity, and inclusion in corporations, school boards, companies, governments, and so on have been dismantled over the past year or so, with those in leadership who once embraced, supported, and promoted these programs, now threatened with consequences if they even try to discuss and teach ideas around equity and inclusion. There are serious and legitimate concerns. The clock is moving backwards. It is of utmost importance that groups such as those working in Kingston and beyond continue the work with diligence and focus.
Keisha Facey, an equity, inclusion, and organizational change consultant, speaker, author, community activist, and cultural arts programmer, delivered the keynote address, speaking on the 2026 theme of honoring the past, empowering the future.
Because our struggle has never simply been about freedom. It has always been about humanity, about dignity, about belonging, this was mentioned today, about our collective right to imagine and build a future that is not defined by the violence that has been imposed upon us. A right to heal from the pain of the past, to Today, as we commemorate Emancipation Day, I want us to think about liberation, and Black liberation specifically, and not thinking about it as the absence of change. I want you to think about it in terms of the presence of joy. You know, we want communities that are able to determine our own future. You know, we think about economic self-reliance, political voice, institutional power, safe communities, healthy families, children who grow up knowing exactly who they are or where they want to be, the freedom to imagine beyond survival, and maybe most importantly, the ability to live without fear. When we think about our history, we cannot think about our history beginning with slavery as though that's where we first just magically appeared, you know, as though our story began in chains. Slavery was never our beginning. It was an interruption, just like this is an interruption of my speech. We'll give it a moment. So long before European ships crossed the Atlantic, our ancestors governed kingdoms, built universities, had systems of law, practiced medicine, studied the stars, created complex systems of trade, raised families, honored elders, and passed knowledge from one generation to the next. Whole civilization. So when we're talking about emancipation and we're talking about freedom, we're talking about the disruption, the interruption of whole civilizations. So the transatlantic slave trade, it was a violent interruption of all of those worlds. It wasn't just that millions of Africans were enslaved, but the entire system of knowledge, kinship, language, spirituality, and community was fractured for centuries. That is why remembrance matters. Remembrance is resistance. What matters is that we resist, that we refuse to surrender our humanity. So on this Emancipation Day, let us remember that emancipation was never a destination. It's an invitation to continue the work that our ancestors began, to build communities where Black children are not merely safe, but celebrated, where Black families are not merely surviving, but thriving, and where freedom is measured not only by what we escaped, but what we built together. As our ancestors reached for freedom, so must we, across Kingston, across Canada, across the Caribbean, across Africa, across the entire Black diaspora, arm in arm, generation after generation, until liberation is no longer something we commemorate, but something every Black child has the privilege to inherit.
In addition to the activities on stage, a community art exhibition featured the works of Alyssa Vernon and King David Olajuwon, whose Anita art exhibit was inspired by Solange's Cranes in the Sky, as well as Fred Martin's Afrocomb, a large-scale 3D Afrocomb sculpture from the Orange, Black, and Freedom series reimagining Harriet Tubman and Mary Ann Shad Carey, and an artifact presentation by Joseph Boyake, which demonstrated the achievements, culture, and resilience of African civilizations long before colonialism and beyond narratives of enslavement. The event also included an educational kids zone hosted by the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, live music, and food vendors offering Haitian, Nigerian, and other cuisines. This year marks the 5th annual observance of Emancipation Day in Canada. On March 24, 2021, the House of Commons voted unanimously to officially designate August 1st Emancipation Day, as it marks the actual day in 1834 that the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833 came into effect across the British Empire. From 1671 to 1831, thousands of Indigenous people and people of African descent were enslaved by French and British colonial settlers in Canada. Emancipation Day recognizes the history and legacy of slavery in Canada and across the British Empire, encouraging reflection on its enduring impacts, while it also celebrates the strength and perseverance of Black communities in Canada. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is part 6 of our OUA football season preview, brought to you by CFRC Power Plays. Today we'll be looking at the McMaster Marauders, and it was a real tale of two seasons type situation for McMaster in 2025. They lost to York in week 1, they got blown out by Queens in week 2, they lost to Windsor in week 3, they are 0-3 going into their bye week. The year looked all but over. But then, McMaster pulled off a stunning upset of their own against Guelph to notch their first win of the season. McMaster would win 3 of their final 4 games, including a nail-biter over Carleton in Week 9 to finish 4-4 and make the OUA playoffs. It was a short stint in the postseason, however, as they were destroyed by Queens in the quarterfinals at Richardson Stadium. But still, an impressive turnaround for a team that looked like it was one of the worst in Canada during the first month of the season. And I'll be honest, those 2025 stats kind of hint at that. On offense, they finished 6th in points for with 211, about 26.6 per game. They were last in total yards with 2,644, which gives them about 350 yards per game. They were 9th in passing yards with 1,900, and they were 8th in rushing yards with 896, giving them about 112 per game. So not a particularly impressive offense, all things considered. It's fair to say that the defense was definitely more their strong suit in 2025. They finished 5th in total points allowed with 234, which is about 29.3 points per game. They were 7th in pass yards allowed per game with 296.5, 8th in rush yards allowed per game with 165.1, and 9th in total yards per game with 461.6. So, not mind-blowing numbers on defense, but definitely a stronger unit. They got a lot of turnovers, they had some great pass rushers in particular, but these aren't things that are going to jump off the page and wow you. They actually finished with a negative point differential, minus 23, which was 7th in the conference. And looking at their last 5 seasons, it's been an interesting couple of years for the Marauders. They finished 3-3 in 2021, missed the playoffs. They finished 2-6 in 2022, missed the playoffs. They finished 2-6 in 2023, missed the playoffs. And they went 4-4 in 2024 and 2025, making the playoffs both years, but getting blown out in the quarterfinals by superior teams. Looking ahead to 2026, I'll just say that I think McMaster is glad to have 2025 over and done with. The team was quite inconsistent. We saw some outstanding individual performances from the likes of Michael Horvat, who was arguably the best punter in the country, and I love what I saw from linebacker Anthony Sestanovic. And that was about it. Lucas Thalman was a decent runner at quarterback, but really lacked a lot of pop in his passes. Lucas Barisi looked shaky against Queens last year, but I know he's been putting a lot of work in the offseason. He did the quarterback internship, so I think he'll have a stronger 2026. Look, I think this team has a lot of potential. They were very young last year. They suffered some hard knocks as a result of it. But, yeah, I don't know. I believe in McMaster maybe more than most people do. Maybe it's the Steph Potasik effect. Not many coaches could get as much out of this team as he did last year, and I think that's going to be consistent moving forward. He's one of the best coaches in the country, and that will help this program immensely. Now, Mac has a brutal schedule to start the season. Windsor in Week 1, Guelph Week 2, Laurier Week 4, Western Week 5. Those are 4 very tough games. They get some relief with Waterloo and Toronto, who I think they can beat. But then they host the defending Yates Cup champion, Queen's Gales, in the season finale. I've got Mac picking up 3 wins against the Toronto teams in Waterloo. Beyond that, it might get a little ugly at times. Still a learning curve for the young McMaster Marauders. But I think this team is trending towards something special. They just aren't there yet. 3-5, 8th in the OUA, narrowly missing the playoffs. That is my prediction.
This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Cranbrook Street from Lakeview Avenue to Days Road is closed for pedestrian improvements. Ontario Street from Brock Street to Clarence will be closed August 7th starting 7 a.m. until August 9th at 6:30 p.m. for the poker run. Bath Road from Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard to Portsmouth Avenue, expect delays for the installation of intersection pedestrian signals. The city is installing these intersection pedestrian signals at several locations to make it easier and safer for pedestrians to cross busy roads. They are installing signals at Bath Road and Lafleur Park, Concession Street and Kings Court Avenue, and Stephen Street at Patrick Street. Wright Crescent at Palace Road to Palace Road is still closed for a contractor to complete roadway repairs, pedestrian safety and access improvements, and traffic calming features on Wright Crescent. Norman Rogers Drive from Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard to Van Order Drive is still closed to through traffic to facilitate roadway rehabilitation and configuration improvements. This work will improve road condition, accessibility, and safety for all road users. The City of Kingston and Utilities Kingston are in the midst of a reconstruction of Princess Street. This major infrastructure project includes upgrades to underground and above ground utilities, as well as improvements to enhance safety and comfort for pedestrians and cyclists. Berry Street from Queen is still closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen, and Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. We begin with your holiday Monday, August 3rd. 26 is your high with lots of bright sunshine, feeling closer to 30 degrees, UV index of 8. Tuesday, August 4th. 27 is your high, feeling a degree warmer with a UV index of 8, mostly sunny with a few clouds here and there. Wednesday, August 5th, 25 is your high with cloudy and humid conditions, feeling closer to 30 degrees.
Thursday, August 6th, 27 is your high, but with the humidity, it feels closer to 30, and once again, we've got a UV index of 8. Friday, August 7th, 26 degrees is your high, with largely sunny conditions, feeling closer to 27, so a little cooler, beautiful day here in the city of Kingston. Saturday, August 8th, 25 is your high with a 55% chance of precipitation in the morning. Going to feel closer to 30 degrees otherwise and quite humid. Sunday, August 9th, 25 is your high, feeling closer to 30, partly sunny with a 70% chance of afternoon thunderstorms. And starting off next week, Monday, August 10th, 25 is your high with a 55% chance of precipitation.
Hello, Kingston, and welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM. Broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario, I'm CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny, and this is your weekly events and concerts calendar brought to you by Flying V Productions. Whether you're looking for live music, community events, workshops, markets, or family-friendly fun, there's lots happening around Kingston this week, so let's get into it. Starting off Monday, grab lunch at Café Franglais before testing your knowledge at Trivia Night at Something in the Water Brewing Company. Live music includes Jazz Mondays with Chantel Thompson at the RCHA Club and Gerald McGrath's Monday Musical Residency at the Cove Inn. On Tuesday, get moving with Chair Fitness. Learn something new at the ASL workshop and enjoy the puppet show tour at Storrington Center. Then dance the evening away at Salsa in the Square or check out Drag in the Park. Live music includes John Torst's Hang and Jam at Roswell Rehearsals, Tom Savage's Tuesday Happy Hour Jam at the RCHA Club, and the Fiesta Mexicana at the Cove Inn. Wednesday features Games in the Square, Swinging Summer at the City Hall Amphitheater, plus plenty of chances to test your knowledge with music trivia at Riverhead Brewing and Trivia Night at Daft Brewing. Live music includes Taryn McKenna and Vince DeBeal at the Belvedere Hotel, Head Over Heels at the Bank Gastro Bar, Sean McCollin at the Cove Inn, Christopher Jackson at the Creekside Bar, and the Catarockway Chamber Music Festival at the Sphere, and an open mic with Wayne Riley at Timeout Bar. On Thursday, browse the Kingston Public Market and bring your kids to Stories in the Square. Get creative at Bring Your Own Craft or take part in finding scenes in everyday life at the Tet Center. You can also catch a free screening of High School Musical in Springer Market Square or head over to the Queen's Family Night at Elbow Lake. Live music includes Tyson Sullivan, Cullen Slack, Bentley McKegney, Clear Breeze, Doug Vanderhorden, Shane Dunn, the Catarockway Chamber Music Festival, and Waygo at the Toucan. Friday includes the Kingston Sheepdog Trials, Spindle Fest, Spanish Conversation Sessions, Speaking Vibrations at TK Fringe, Nuts at the Tet Center, and Kicking It Country at City Hall Amphitheater. Music highlights include Amanda Keeley Trio at the Cove Inn, Neil Carter at Kicking It Country, Nolan Hubbard at the Waterfront Concert Series, the Wolf Island Music Festival, Heatwave at the RCHA Club, Groove Infused, Lowest of the Low, the Celtic Kitchen Party, Dr. Bombay, and John McClurg at the Toucan. Heading into Saturday, don't miss the Women's Arts Festival in City Park, the Kingston Public Market, Chef Demos, Saturday Sessions, and the Sheep to Shawl competition at the Kingston Sheepdog Trials. Live music includes performances at the Women's Art Festival, Texas Tuxedo, and Friends at the South Road Jam, the Wolf Island Music Festival, and much more. Wrapping things up Sunday, the Memorial Center Farmers Market returns alongside yoga in Battery Park and the shawl auction and spinning frolic at the Kingston Sheepdog Trials. Music includes Taryn McKenna and Vince DeBeal at the Belvedere Hotel, live music Sundays at Finkel Shore Park, Marianne Dexler Band at Time Out Bar, Head Over Heels at the Cove Inn, and Ben Nichols, Corey Brannon at the Broom Factory. That's your weekly events and concerts calendar for August 3rd through the 9th. For more information on any of these events, visit the CFRC website and keep it locked right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. This events calendar is brought to you by Flying V Productions, bringing live theater, comedy, and unforgettable entertainment to audiences across Kingston. I'm Jenny. Thanks for listening and have a great week, Kingston.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.